Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask or even imagine. Amen. We began last Wednesday night's vestry meeting with prayer and reflection based on today's second reading from Philippians. Some of the vestry members focused on a passage that read, "Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others." And it was agreed upon how difficult it is to do in real life. It is a very challenging element of what it truly is to be Christ-like. Christ-like is the first value we engaged 2 weeks ago when we launched the Living Our Values program. In fact, we have two new banners outside the church that list our eight values. They are rotated in our bulletin each week. They're in our Get Connected pamphlet and the basis for our new St. Francis blog. Once a month, we will engage one of our values to foster our growth as a Christian community. But being a community is not easy. And that is one of the issues Paul addressed in this letter to the Philippians. Paul pleads for unity in the church, especially among its leaders, and gives advice on how to act and think together. So Paul used phrases such as same mind, same love, one love, because apparently a division had taken root. Most scholars point to two specific women who apparently had a falling out. And Paul names them toward the end of the letter so his message would not be missed. Poor Euodia and Syntyche. Paul called them out, urging them to be of the same mind in the Lord. Now we, of course, never have any grumbling or disagreements here at St. Francis. All of our fundraisers and gatherings run smoothly with no complaints. Of course, we are of the same mind, with no opinions about fundraisers, building and grounds, our style of worship and music, how the parish hall and boardroom should be left after activities, who throws out what from the kitchen and freezer in the parish hall. Of course, no one here is ever frustrated when something changes or complains that things aren't done the way they used to be. Now, you know I am being facetious. We are most definitely an imperfect community, just like those who made up the members of the Philippi church. Human nature is what it is. So we do have our strong opinions, grumble and complain just once in a while. We do wish some things were different, but we are in it together, and that is the work of being a church, learning to become Christ-like together, just like the early church had to face. But it is very hard to be consistent as a Christian, and we never know who is watching us. I received an email story 2 weeks ago that portrays how easy it is to be inconsistent as a Christian. Here's the story. The light turned yellow just in front of him. He did the right thing, stopping at the crosswalk, even though he could have beaten the red light by accelerating through the intersection. The tailgating woman was furious and honked her horn, screaming in frustration as she missed her chance to get through the intersection, dropping her cell phone and makeup. As she was still in mid-rant, she heard a tap on her window, and looked up into the face of a very serious police officer. The officer ordered her to exit her car with her hands up. He took her to the police station where she was searched, fingerprinted, photographed, and placed in a holding cell. After a couple of hours, a policeman approached the cell and opened the door. She was escorted back to the booking desk, where the arresting officer was waiting with her personal belongings. He said, "I am very sorry. There seems to be a mistake. You see, I pulled up behind your car while you were blowing your horn, flipping off the guy in front of you, and cussing a blue streak. I then noticed the 'What Would Jesus Do?' bumper sticker, the 'Choose Life' license plate holder, the 'Follow Me to Sunday School' bumper sticker, and the chrome-plated Christian fish emblem on the trunk, so naturally, I assumed you had stolen the car." We can truly be inconsistent Christians, can't we? Say one thing and do another. The pacifist from India, Mohandas Gandhi, said years ago, "I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are unlike your Christ." So what is the way to become more Christ-like? How do we overcome knee-jerk reactions, like laying down our car horn, flipping off, or cussing another driver? How do we curb a complaining tongue, especially if it's become a habit? We need to put on the mind of Christ. It is an attitude shift. Christ-like living requires a soul-level choice. They say do something for 30 days and it becomes a habit. So what about the suggestion on the Christ-like value sheet we got 2 weeks ago? That suggestion read, "Commit to memory a verse from Scripture and repeat it to yourself as you go about your daily life." So repeat, for instance, a passage from today's scripture on Philippians. "Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others." It can start the seed for change, because Christ-like change takes intentional choice. Taking a line from scripture and chewing on it each day becomes soul food, transforming your spirit, even in the midst of trials, tragedy, and anxiety. 25 years ago, I left being a Roman Catholic nun. I was on staff at Bishop Montgomery at the time. Before I left, I went through a discernment process, not only with the superiors of that religious community, but with a therapist as well. By the end of November of that school year, my decision had been made. I would be leaving being a nun at the end of the school year in June. But meanwhile, I needed to minister and function each day, even though I was very anxious about my future. Questions were a constant distraction. Would I be able to support myself? Where would I live? How could I afford a car? Get furniture? It was very scary and very overwhelming. But every day, I got up and prayed the same passage of scripture day after day for 8 months. The passage was from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 11. "I know the plans I have in mind for you. It is God who speaks. Plans for peace, not disaster, reserving a future full of hope for you." Every day I prayed that passage and kept it in my heart throughout my day at work. It helped me keep my feelings in check as I went about the day, and if anxiety surfaced, I would repeat that passage. That passage transformed me, deepened my faith, and allowed me to stay centered, so I was not preoccupied with my own interests, but could think of the interests of others. Repeating a passage of Scripture every day becomes a vehicle for grace to do what Paul encouraged at the end of this reading from Philippians. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. That's what I had to do 25 years ago, and what each of us has to do every day. Work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Become Christ-like, even as we experience fear and tremble doing the hard stuff for God. Through minefields of unmet needs, disappointments, broken dreams, and heartaches. So I invite you, as a spiritual defense or a tool, choose a line from Scripture that is comforting or challenging or encouraging or inspiring. Listen to the questions that surface in your heart or the questions that arise from the Word of God. For instance, how do I look to the interests of others over my own? How can I put on the mind of Christ? And what line of Scripture will become my lifeline? No matter how long the passage is or short, choose it, repeat it, cling to it, believe it, for God is at work in you. God continues the work of Christ through us. So let the same mind be in us that was in Christ Jesus. The same mind, the same love, one love. Amen.